And it's Grace Hour time again. The Grace Hour podcast is up and running here on a Friday afternoon in January 2025. Actually, it's a Friday morning. Sorry. Still getting used to the new numbers today. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis with Greater Grace Church of Baltimore. That's where we're coming to you from, the studio here. With me is Pastor Steve Schiavelli. We're talking about new things this week. It's just sort of what we want to do. You know, the calendar changes and we want to bring you into these thoughts. They're not really new thoughts. They're eternal thoughts. They're not really ancient words. They're eternal words because they have been from before the beginning, because God is from everlasting to everlasting. A concept that we cannot put inside our little brains, though many have tried. But we're talking about the new commandment that Jesus gave to his apostles in the upper room. He said, a new commandment I give to you. And really, it's a commandment that Jesus and the Father and the Spirit had been operating under in all of their existence. So we're going to tackle this subject today. If you're wanting to comment on this, you have some chat windows there that you can type your comments in. We may make reference to those if they're in accord with what we're talking about. But Pastor Schiavelli, a new commandment Jesus gave to his disciples, and want to break it down for us a little bit?
I think it was new in one aspect. Obviously, we read from Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 and 7, and different portions in the scripture about the love of God. It's there, you know, and well, we see it in God so loved the world, John 3:16. I think what makes it new is the fact that the very person of God, you could see his life. I think that's what made it new, because that was something new that happened. God becoming a man was new. That never was before. There was pre-incarnation appearances, of course, but a new commandment, and I think he kind of brings that home with, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. That's very important. Mm. Like, okay, maybe they know about God's love and they can experience it through the Holy Spirit, of course. But right now, at that particular point, they had a personal initiation from God, a personal relationship. Not only was God eternal, but he was very personal to them. So they could understand what it meant. Mm. And as I have loved you, I think that's so important. This brand new commandment given by a person. God became a man, and God is love. 1 John 4:8 and 4:16, God is love. Of course, there's a lot of other aspects of his attributes, but if it wasn't for the love of God, then how would we even have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? This is so important. And he says, a new commandment I give to you. I think that's grace, too. A new commandment I give to you. I'm giving to you this new commandment. It's the heart of God's grace, his very grace that gives them this truth. Now, one of the things, Pastor Steve, I think that happens today is that people, when they hear the word commandment, they get a little bit like, you know, bent out of shape sometimes, you know, like, you know, nobody likes to be told what to do, you know. Did you ever have your parents tell you to do something and you just didn't want to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I know
it's
part
of
being. I don't know about Sebastian, but I know in my life, you know, they would say, do this, clean your room, come home at this time, don't drive without a license, whatever it was, you know, whatnot. But the word commandment here really has an interesting idea to it, that God would never ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the ability to do. Mm. It's like asking you to pay $1,000 debt and you have no money, you're broke. Or I give you $1,000 and ask you to pay the $1,000 debt. So what makes this idea of commandment so important is that God will initiate to us and give us exactly what we need to fulfill what he says.
Yeah.
Why would God, I mean, isn't it interesting, and we say this often, but the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. Mm. And that's very simple and to understand, and it's very scriptural. They're written by the person of the Holy Spirit. Then God, when you get saved, God gives you the person of the Holy Spirit. Is it not very easy for the Holy Spirit to fulfill what the Holy Spirit has said?
Yes.
If I try to fulfill what God says through my own human ability or good flesh, then there's a problem. So he's giving them this new commandment. And I love it how he emphasizes the love of God. I was reading today from 1 John 4:7 to 1 John 5:3. 1 John 4:7, 1 John 5:3. And 29 times in that portion, agape is used. Mm. Agape or agapeo. It's unbelievable in that portion of Scripture. So he's really making an emphasis, John the Apostle, making an emphasis on this incredible agape love, which is eternal, it's personal, it's defined in the Word, it takes place in the church and through the gospel. Mm. You know, we need to bring definition. Like sometimes people just have this abstract idea of God is love, God is love. Yes, he is. But you can see it as that which is eternal, that which is personal, and then the Word defines it. Okay, the Word has to define the love of God, because otherwise the love of God can become very abstract and people can take it in any way they want through a satanic substitute love that's out there. There is a satanic substitute love. I really believe it. He tries to bring in a love that might seem like it's okay, but it's not okay. You know, like you name it, whatever it could be. Loving something that has nothing to do with God at all. So it's a new commandment, and I love it, and the truth of the fact that it's absolutely brand new. I was also reading 1 Corinthians 12:31, and yet show I, and he means it personally. Paul is saying personally to the Corinthians, show I unto you a more excellent way, hyperbole, something above and beyond what you know, what you've experienced. I show unto you an excellent way. I put it together with 13:13, which is, and the greatest of these is love. Then 14:1-2 says, pursue it. Mm. Pursue it. So it is the greatest. I mean, it is above and beyond. It's the greatest. Now pursue it. Pursue it. And it's not like you're pursuing through self-effort, but I just want to be a receiver of this incredible love of God. This is so key. A lot of people try to somehow fellowship with what's known as love, but they never receive God's love. Mm. How can you give out something that you haven't received? Mm. You cannot. You cannot give out agape love unless it's first received. God so loved. I love how that reads, huto agapeo. He's so loved with a quality and a quantity that's inexpressible. Mm. He so loved the world. What happened in Ephesus? We know. We can talk about it in a moment. Like, you know, I have something against you. And God is not, by the way, God is not against anyone ever. Mm-hmm. God before you, who can be against you? Romans 8:31. But when he says, I have somewhat against you, he's not saying I'm against you, but I'm against something you're doing. Mm. You've left me, your best love. So you're doing everything. You labor, you have patience, you're doing the works of God, the first works, but you're doing them without the emphasis being the love of God. So I have something against what you're doing. Yeah. You're doing something, but it's outside of God's nature and character. And we can see that religious people, isn't that what religion can be all about?
Yes.
They're not the true religion of James chapter 1, but people that are religious are trying to do things without God. They've never been born again. Or even if they have been born again, they are still operating in the old sin nature, the good side. So God says, I got something new. It's a new commandment. And that new commandment would cause him, be the source of him laying his life down for them. And so they can take it up. They can receive him as their personal savior. So how do we define love today? I was thinking of five ways that we can talk about this. Love and the word. Mm. Love and faith. If you don't live by faith, can you really say that you have God's love? Love and the spirit. Mm. Sheds the love of God abroad. Love in the church. And love in the gospel. Five things we can think on today, or whatever God leads you. God's love in God's word, love in God's faith, love in God's spirit, love in God's church, love in God's gospel. And really, to bring a definition to something that for many people is abstract, oh, God is love. Yeah, I know that. But could you define that for me? What does that mean? What does it mean? By the way, God being love, he can say to Peter, get behind me, Satan, because he loves Peter, but Peter's being controlled by something other than God. So it comes out in a very powerful way. You know, people say, oh, that's not love. That's not love. You know how God, and by the way, God doesn't send anybody to hell. Their sin does.
Yeah.
Okay. Their refusal to receive him as personal savior. I hear some people say that sometimes. Well, if God was love, why would he send people to hell? Like, why? You think God sinned and God did what they're doing? They've done it and they refuse forgiveness. They refuse love. They refuse forgiveness.
Wow. I think you made it pretty clear there with the five aspects there. The love in the word, love in faith, love in the spirit, love in the church, and love in the gospel. And when you're reading this passage where we're taking these scriptures from, you know, Jesus introduced this by telling his disciples, you're little children. Yeah, you know, that's the first thing. He said, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to know that, you know, right now your capacity is very small to understand this, but I'm giving you a new commandment. And the thing is the centerpiece of that commandment, I think that you would agree with me, the centerpiece of this commandment is the whole key to the mission of the church, right? Because he says, if you love one another with the love that I'm giving you and that I've given you, then people will know that you're my disciples, which is the whole point. He said, well, you know, because, you know, you're going to wonder about how to get closer to me, how to find me, how to do this. He said, really, you know, love is going to be in you. I am going to be in those who are with you, like you're saying. All right, love in the word. This is the word. You put faith in what Jesus said, right? The Spirit activates the faith that you put in the word. And then where do you demonstrate that faith first?
Church.
In the church. And then the church communicates that faith to the rest of the world. That's gospel mission.
That's
boom.
Yeah.
Let's drop the mic. There we are. We just, you know, we just analyzed, we just broke it down for you, right?
Right. I like it because here's like a real aspect of the definition, as I have loved you.
Yes.
Like, you know, in other words, like it's not something you're going to make up in your own mind to suit your own emotions or fulfill some religious desire, some denominational bent. But it's very simple, as I have loved you. How have I loved you? And we just said it, you know, I've loved you eternally. I've loved you personally. And we define it in the word. This is so important because some people try to define love. There's all kinds of groups out there, religious people out there. They're not saved. And they may talk about love, but they define love based upon their own human idea of what love is and not God's word. This is so important.
It's a sentimentality, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a love built on, you know, how I feel, you know, which means that, you know, once you've taken vows at a marriage altar and the feeling goes, then it's not till death do you part anymore. You know, it's like there's a sentimental kind of, which is not the love that Christ is talking about here. He says, as I have loved you. And, you know, he's going to expand on this and say that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, this is the way ultimately love is about. And, you know, we're always going to be in this little child as far as the breadth of love goes, even though Paul gave us a whole chapter on it, which is, you know, we could meditate. Like, I think you do that, right? You've done that in Africa, spent a whole year teaching
book,
on that one chapter, 1 Corinthians
this one here,
13.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you could go through that, reiterating all of the, all of the pieces of the, all of the little nuances there, the little phrases that he's talking about. It thinks no evil. It doesn't puff itself up. All those kind of things carry a certain message with it.
Oh, but, you could go for weeks, years. Listen to this one. His last words to Peter. Now, first of all, Peter, do you know who you are? John 21, 1 through 14. You know who you are. What are you doing fishing for fish? I called you to fish for men. And the problem is you don't know who you are. You're just living. You don't know how much I love you and have made you a new person. Then what are you here for? Feed my sheep. If you love, do you love me? Imagine three times it grieved Peter. Do you love me? Then shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. So if a person loves God, there's going to be, here's one of the things that the word says, you'll feed sheep, you'll feed the sheep, you'll feed the lambs, the young converts, and you'll feed the sheep. So you would be involved in ministering to people, to Christians. Some people say, I love God, but they never come out of their house. You know, like, wait a minute. So you love God, but you don't go to church. You have no friendships really with people, and you're not expressing God's love towards you. I'm not saying you're not saved, But you can be saved, and God is love, and God loves you, but you've never been involved with people in any mm-hmm. way, not in the church, not with the gospel, no way at all. Sometimes even reluctantly, not even with the family at all. And so they don't really know this commandment, as I have loved you. So it's not that I just sit there and receive all of God's love and just keep it to myself in a selfish way. You know, God loves me, and that's the end of it. But if you really love God, you're going to keep his word. You're going to keep his word. You're going to bring the gospel to people as God leads you creatively and in the spirit. You know, that's between you and God. You're going to love the word. I mean, you say you love God, but you don't read the Bible. I don't understand that. The Bible is God's love letter to mm-hmm. me, you know? So I love God, but I don't read the Bible. I love God, but I don't go to church. Oh, I heard that the church was his body. Mm-hmm. Really? So you love God, the head, but you don't love the body. Really? Oh, I love God, but I don't have any involvement with the gospel. So you don't care about other people getting to know this love so they can be transformed. So there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of so-called Christianity with a name, but no life.
Yeah.
A name and no life, and that's dangerous. But we want to be people who concentrate as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. This to me is so key. Paul could love the Corinthians mm-hmm. when they could not stand. I mean, they came against him in such an incredible way, yet he loved them.
Yeah.
He loved them regardless of what they did. Just read 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 11. It's unbelievable what he had to deal with
yeah.
with Corinth. And here's Jesus saying, How about this for love? I mean, this is the greatest example going. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he's loving the people that crucified him.
That's right.
You know, oh no. Yeah, I can love my friends and I can love people in the church, but what are you talking about? Love your enemies? Loving the lost? Loving that person that has a narcotics problem, an alcohol problem, has gone out and committed adultery mm-hmm. or fornication, uses this and uses that. So, no, yes, love the lost. Isn't that the gospel?
That's the
loving
gospel.
The lost. How can you say I love Jesus if I don't love the church and I don't love the lost? It's a figment of your imagination.
Really,
what it is. It's just something that's very strange and alien to the life of God. We got a lot of comments.
A few comments up there. They're just like sort of edifying us, which is. Oh. Sharing the love of God with us.
Telugu, what's that? Grace what's that? Worship House Telugu? Where's Telugu?
I don't know. Grace Worship. Amen.
Good. I don't know what Telugu. Can you tell us where that is? Grace
Worship
House Telugu. Amen. Wow.
Must be. I don't know.
Well, I have this great opportunity coming up soon to go to Liberia.
Yeah.
And Ghana, then Togo. And we're thinking about Liberia, which suffered a 17-year-long war. You know, I mean, it was brutal. It was a brutal war, and they say almost 800,000 or 900,000 people died in the war. And what they need is the message. Yeah. I actually talked to the person that became the president of Liberia, and I went to his office, and I gave him the message. I didn't know what to say. You know, you can get a little nervous talking to the president of a country. But mm-hmm. God calmed my nerves by telling me he just needs to know how much God loves him.
Yeah.
That can make a change in his life, and that can make a change in a country uh-huh. that takes place, you know. And that's what we need. So we did that, myself and Pastor Alfred. There was one other person. I can't remember who that was with us. But simply, this is the message. This is the message. God is love. 1 John 4:8-16. This is his nature and his character. And out of the nature and character comes his word and his works.
Yeah.
This is key.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you go back to Corinthians, when you're thinking about, you know, why did he emphasize love at the end so much, you know, with their giftedness. And he starts out by saying that you've become divided. You know,
yeah.
You say you're of this guy, Apollos.
Yeah.
You say you're of Paul, you say you're of Peter, and then some of you are just so spiritual. You're only of Jesus.
Yeah, you don't need people.
And you know, these are very intelligent people. You know, Corinth was a very intellectual society, but also very pagan. And now they had come together,
yeah,
under the gospel. And now, you know, he's trying to get them back to the
yeah.
To, you know, I mean, I guess you could say that's maybe the point in Ephesus. They left their they left what brought them together first. It seems like it might be something that really can plague any church at any time, right? We've been through a few things where, you know, where there is like, you know, love one another. Yeah, right. Do you really?
I mean, if you have truth and the word without love, you can really damage people.
Yeah.
You can hit them with the fleshly word, a word that's of the flesh and whatnot. And there's no love, loving people, you know, loving children and having like a great Sunday school and great things for them. Great. I don't like to use the word so often, programs, but life, life-giving opportunities. But this is so key. This is what Jesus is saying to him, you know, at the end of his life. He's asking him those questions. Do you love me? I like verse 19. Follow me. You follow me. First of all, let me love you, then you love me, and then you'll follow.
Yeah.
Like, why would a person follow if they're not being loved and it's all out of love? It's some kind of religious duty. In other words, I'm loved by God, I love him, and then I follow.
Yeah.
You know, follow is an interesting word, akolatheo. It means an abiding fellowship of love and faith. That's one of the definitions of it, an abiding fellowship of love and faith. So am I going to follow somebody who hates me? Well, you got to be pretty ridiculous to do that, you know? You're not thinking very well. You're following somebody who loves you. Children follow their parents.
Yeah.
You know, and like if you got on the ridge overlooking a lake and you had your one-year-old or two-year-old in your arms, you're going to jump off the ledge into the lake. Child, just trust you because the love of God that you showed them. I know that can sound a little bit extreme, but the child loves you and will follow you, you know? And did you ever have a child want to just get in and drive your car? Yeah, you know, and they're like 8 years old. And they what they're doing in one aspect, I know we could look at it one way, but one way they love you and they see you driving and they want to do what you do.
I'm telling you this because my wife did this to our grandson the other day, took him out driving. He's 15. But you have a granddaughter that she's entering into that realm of.
She has a license already.
Already. Okay. Oh, yeah, so she's driving already.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I have this fear. Only love can cast it out of getting into the car with her driving. I hope she's not listening to this, but you know, I mean, really, like, I think I'd be nervous. You know what I'm saying?
Well, of course.
I should have peace, but yeah. And my mother let me drive the car when I was like, I think 14 years old. I was driving around with my father's car, which my mother was able to use.
Let's just say, when we were younger and driving, our cars, airbags, we didn't need airbags. We had, 455 cubic inch engines.
Yeah.
If we hit anything, it's the thing that we hit that was the problem.
That was the problem. Yeah.
Anyway, back to this whole idea of this commandment that Christ communicated, a new commandment, what does it mean in terms of like, what's he reiterating? He's trying to, and there is a really, like you said there, you said earlier, like this is a new, why is it new? It's because, these men had experienced something that, all of us await to experience, which is the full presence in bodily form of God, the Son. So this was something that, he's telling, this was like a tremendous privilege and a tremendous accountability that the disciples were being given here. I think this whole passage in John exists for us to see, that Jesus is saying, we've had communion, Judas is gone, and you are my guys, and I've got to tell you the way that you've got to operate according to what you've seen in me. And the way that I've operated in relating to you, because this is really the secret to how the church is going to grow, how the gospel is going to spread. If you don't do this, really Jesus is, he has no other plan, he has no other plan. He has no other plan to get the gospel going this way. It's I love you. You love each other. As you love each other, other people are going to learn that this is something that they really want. And it all comes back to me loving you the way that I loved you in these years.
Well, I like these two words, by this. Simply by this, He didn't say by your doctrine. Mm-hmm. Although we know that love is, there's the doctrine of love. I know that. Mm-hmm. Okay. By how much you give, by the good works you're doing in the community, you know, whatever, by what? It says, by this shall all men know. Mm-hmm. By your building, your church building, by how you take the offering, by the music that's in the church. No. Yeah. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the by this is important. Mm-hmm. He's not saying by anything else. You could have all these other things, you know. You could have the best music. You could have the best facility. You could have whatever, programs all over the place. You know, you got a program for women, for people that are divorced, for people that have been abused. You have a program for children. You have a program for people that have addictions and all that. If you have all of that without the love of God, what do you really have? You just have a 2 Timothy 3:5-7, a form of godliness. I like this. That denies the power thereof. Mm-hmm. The power is God's love. It's a form. It's external. There's nothing internal. It's a form of godliness. And this will be the key. Jesus is being crucified, and he's loving the people that did it to him. See, I can't imagine that. I could never do that. I'm not saying we can, okay? But it would only be by the ability of the Holy Spirit for that to take place, that Paul could love people would put him in jail, you know, put him in jail, because he's going to meet God wherever he is, you know? And so, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Now, you could be the disciples of something else, but you're not. Are you his disciples? By this and my. I like that. By this and you're my disciples. I'm bringing definition to what my disciples should be doing. They should be loving one another. What happens when you get into a place where there's backbiting and all kinds of problems and arguments and church problems and difficulty, even in church government? Where's the love? Where's the love one for another? And certainly love is never void of truth. Mm-hmm. Of course not. But where is this heart love for one another? I remember being in the church and they had gone in a different direction and were doing things that really were contrary to the scriptures. I remember Pastor Stevens coming at times and just like being so loving towards those people. And I'm thinking like, wow, you know, he's not allowing what becomes a difference to make a difference in his initiation of God's heart. Because if he keeps initiating God's heart, maybe out of some of these people will come out of that.
Yeah.
And they will come to the love of God expressed by a person. See, a lot of people also like to do this. Yes, this is how Jesus loves. Well, what about you? Yeah. What about me? What about people? What's going on here, you know? What's taking place? Is it just, Jesus loves this way, you know? But as for me, no, that's not possible. It is possible if you let the Holy Spirit do it.
Yeah.
You know? That's key. See, Winston Huggins is up there a lot.
Yeah.
Winston James Huggins.
Amazing.
Yes. Thank you. So
let's think about more of this idea. So what's the purpose that Jesus is like? You know, one, I think we've defined this pretty well, is like, you know, he's trying to tell his disciples to operate this way among one another in order to further the mission of the gospel. I keep coming back to that. You were talking about Paul and his exhortation of the Corinthians. I'm just thinking, like, I come back to that proverb where it says, if you really love somebody, you will, you know, open rebuke is better than secret love. And, you know, if you see someone doing something, or you see someone out of order, or you see someone who, you know, who needs something repaired in their life, you know, if you keep that quiet, it's not really the practice of love. This is like, you know, this is where we are today. It's like, you know, we got to tolerate everything. We got to tolerate everything in order to create a measure of peace where there is no peace. And this is like, you know, to express the things that Jesus is trying to express. You know, he openly rebuked the Pharisees, not because he disagreed with them, but because he wanted them to come to mm-hmm. a full understanding of who he was.
He loved
and
them.
And he loved them.
Yeah. And it's true. And I love this when it says God so loved the world. You see it in 1 John 4, I think it's 11, and Ephesians 5, 32. We ought to so love one another, and then the husband ought to so love his wife. Okay? And this word so love, huto agapeo, very interesting. It really speaks about, once again, the quality and the quantity of God's love. So that verse that we quote so often that we've known since we were very young, God so loved the world. Well, what did so love do? Gave.
Mm.
And he didn't just give an angel or, you know, some dissertation, some dropping down of some book from heaven or something like that. Mm. But he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I like it. It's monogenes, the one, the only one, the unique one. In other words, there's never been anyone ever like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Totally God, yet totally man. God-man. And so loved. They say in French, son fils unique. Right? Is that right? I got a French person over there telling me it's true. Son fils unique. The only begotten one. And mm-hmm. I love how that actually translates. You see it in John 1:14, 1:18, John 3:16, 3:18, 1 John 4:9. You see it five times. He's called the only begotten, monogenes, unique. No one ever like him. So what makes his soul amazing is that this one and only one so loved us.
Yeah.
So loved us. He's perfection. We are not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's perfect. He's perfection. He obeys. He's obedient. At times we are not, you know. So yet he can so love us. And then he says this ought to be how it operates in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Not just God so loving me, but do we so love one another?
Yeah.
And then let's take it another step further. Husbands, so love your wife, right?
Yeah.
As Christ loved the church. Wow. That would take away marriage problems, wouldn't it? So loved. If you so loved your wife, husband so loved your wife. By the way, she's, and you know, a lot of people will quote that part, wives submit to your husbands. Well, who couldn't submit to somebody that so loves you,
mm.
right? You can yeah. submit to God. When you think of God as a person outside of this love,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes kind of hard for you to respond, to submit, because you're thinking of like some kind of God that's just ruling and commanding, and you think of him in a different way. But a God who so loves you, you can receive and respond. And I think that's why many people maybe have not responded to the gospel. They say mm-hmm. only maybe 10 to 15% of the world is born again.
Yeah.
Out of 8 billion people, you're talking maybe a maximum of a billion.
Yeah.
That's a lot, though. I'm not saying that's not. But yet I wonder, like, how is this message presented?
Mm-hmm.
Is this message presented? Is Jesus presented as one who so loves? That his commandments are to love. He loves people. And this is so important. And when you have a church that doesn't love, what else? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
They're demanding. Dr. Stevens used to say this all the time. Love never demands a change. Love produces a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love doesn't demand a change. You don't demand. I don't demand you do this, you know. And somebody would say to me, you have to go to Africa. I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to. I do it because motivated by God's love. I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't do it because I have to. You know, I have to, how I'm going to obey the Great Commission because I have to or because God loves me.
Mm.
And so that commandment preceded by the love of God. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that are out there in Christianity doing the have to's.
Yeah.
I have to do this. I have to do this. And I'm not saying anything against living perfect and living holy and righteous and all that. I am saying, what's the motivation?
Mm.
What's the motivation? And that's why it says 2 Corinthians 5:14, that the love of Christ constrains me, soon echo, holds me in on every side, and prohibits me from considering any other options. Great word, soon echo. It's all around me. It's all around me, and it prohibits me from, you know, from going in that direction. And if I do go in the direction, love will discipline me as a father disciplines their child.
It's true. It's true. Well, I mean, yeah. Well, Carol is saying something about prayer, which is important. When we pray for the body, God fills us with his love. And I think that's what we're saying. Jesus, if we break this context down, we see that Jesus says two amazing things that seem opposite. He says, you are little children, but you are my disciples. And he also said, like, if a son asks a father for something, a fish, the father doesn't give him a snake if he's a good fish, right? And Jesus said, in that same teaching, he's saying, if you want the Spirit, then you just got to ask me for it. It's like, it's not like we're not trying to like work up a sort of feeling that we can share with one another. We're talking about really something that can only come from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We can only love as Christ loved by allowing the Spirit to shed the love of God abroad in our heart. That's another point that's made by one of our watchers, listeners today on the chat window. Maybe it was Carol there too. He sheds, yes, Carol is saying a lot of good things today, but that is it. Like, how do I get this?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not, it's got, like you said, you've said it a couple times today. It's something that must be received.
Right.
You love one another as I have loved you. We love because he first loved us. And, well, I don't really like, all right, forget the like part.
Yeah.
Forget the like part. Let the Spirit shed the love of God abroad in your heart. You'll be surprised at how the Spirit can move you to do something that's contrary to your carnal nature.
Love goes beyond like.
Love goes beyond like.
Yeah.
It's like, isn't it? It's the truth.
I like this too. You mentioned it. I don't know if you were aware of it. Maybe you probably were. How he puts together little children and my disciples.
Yes.
In other words, disciples are learning ones.
Yeah.
And that means there's maturity, there's learning. But he wants them to remain as little children. Because little children are receptive.
They're the ones who, the kingdom belongs to them, right?
Yeah. So little children. So Pummy said, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for 30 years, and I like to tell you this and that, you know, and whatnot. I'm really a disciple. And there's no humility.
Mm.
Are you also a little child? Can you act like a little child? You know, nothing wrong with that. He calls them little children in verse 33, and he says, you are my disciples in verse 35. Yeah. And in between it is God's love. So if you are a disciple and you are living and receiving from this love, you're going to be like a little child towards God.
Yes.
And then discipleship towards people, you know. But little children and my disciples are quite a combination.
Okay, let's go back to Corinth. We've been talking about that. Okay, so we have 1 Corinthians, right? And where, you know, he's encouraging the people, you got somebody in there practicing something that that's not even named among the pagans. And you got to do something about that. You got to rebuke that person, right? That's one thing. But then we get into 2 Corinthians and he's like saying, all right, the motivation of love in rebuke now must be followed up by the motivation of love in restoration when the rebuke has produced the change through the love of God. So you got, Paul has to write one thing. And then he has to write again to them, like, okay, receive this guy into the fellowship again, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
well, also
like,
the word,
like you said, the love was supposed to produce the change. It did produce the change. Now, commandments, you know, the new commandment that God got, that God gave is, you know, love as he loved, you know, and if anyone loved, you know, Jesus loved a gang of disciples who couldn't get out of their own way. They didn't know what they were doing. I love them anyway. Father, forgive them. So, well, right?
Yeah. And sometimes people take this idea of rebuke outside of love.
Yeah.
Rebuke is not just yelling and screaming at people, you know?
Yeah.
Whatnot. Rebuke means I'm just trying to change their direction.
Yeah.
And they're going in a certain direction, and it's open rebuke is better than secret love. Oh, I love them. I don't want to say anything about them, what they're doing right now, you know?
Yeah.
You know, no, that's not love. Love would correct somebody like a father corrects their child. This Jennifer is asking a question. How do you know you love God, especially when you discern something about someone and still have to love them? How do you know you love God? Oh, what's it got to do with somebody else would be my question.
Well, I think they're saying, like, do I really love God? I think,
do I
really love God and I have a problem with somebody, you know, how do I fix this?
Discernment is not judging. Remember, discerning means you're able to distinguish what's of God, diakrino, diakrisis. You're able to distinguish what's of God and what's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're not judging them. Okay. Yeah. You're just looking at them and saying what they're doing.
Yeah,
I can see that this is not of God. I'm not judging their character and their nature as they're in Christ and a new person. I'm saying what is taking place in my life. I have to do it in my own life. I got to discern what's not of God in my own life and be able to like get rid of it. It's got to go. It's through the love of God. So, you know, that's very important that you love them. You love them regardless of whether they love you, regardless of whether they're a lost enemy, regardless of they're a Christian that's backslidden. Like, love goes beyond that. Remember, we just said it. Love never demands a change. Love produces the change. So you love them. Now, there may be times that you love people, but you can't fellowship with them.
Yeah.
Okay? If somebody, you know, you shouldn't be in fellowship with people that are doing things that are disobedient to God outright, and they're doing it, and they know it's wrong, and I shouldn't have fellowship with a person that's behaving a certain way. Am I going to have fellowship with a person who's living with a man or a woman? And they're living. I love them, but you two shouldn't be together. Mm. You two shouldn't be together. You know, I went to a house one day and knocked on a door. It was a guy's house, and him and a lady appeared at the door. They weren't married. Mm. I said to them, "Well, like, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, Pastor, he couldn't answer me." You know, I said, "Number one, you go home right now. Get out of this house right now." And he didn't like it at the time, but after he came to me and said, "Thank you," because it actually ended up restoring my marriage, you know, restored my marriage, you know. So love for him and love for her meant I'm dealing with this right now. Okay. Yeah. I'm dealing with this right now. So
there's choices.
Yeah.
Jesus, it's really a choice. Like, it's really a choice that, you know, you choose to love God because he first loved you. It's a response. And, you know, you might have problems with people, and you discern something, but you have to.
You love them.
You love them.
Like the Holy Jennifer, Spirit has to. Yeah. There's the answer there, that you love God, you discern, and because of that love, you discern something. You don't judge them.
Yeah.
You just discern that this is not a good thing, and how you have to bring them to a place of understanding that. Mm. How you do that. See, sometimes people will discern something and someone they love, and they go about it in the flesh.
Yeah.
And they do more damage than good. They end up producing a reaction and a rebellion.
Yeah.
And this is really interesting. So how I handle people, you know, I don't walk up to somebody. I remember, you know, there's a guy, I'm evangelizing him, and he's got a bottle of beer in his hand. Well, I didn't say, "Throw that bottle of beer down or else you can't listen to me," you know, what? Mm-hmm. No, I just said, you know what? I'm meeting him right where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jesus did that.
Yeah.
He met the woman at the well. She's on her fifth husband, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he creatively dealt with the problem. He did it very creatively because he loved her, and then she followed. You
know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe if I bring in discipline or correction outside of God's nature and character of love, I end up doing damage. I end up doing more damage because I'm disciplining their flesh with my flesh.
Yeah.
My flesh is disciplining their flesh, and it becomes a big flesh party.
Well,
not good. Not good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap it up here on this Friday for the Grace Hour. But, you know, we think about, you know, the commandment that Jesus gave us was a, you know, the disciples experienced the love of God in a way that he wanted them to continue to experience it. And, you know, there was a form of it, there was a substance of it, and it was a, and this new kind of love is among us as people of God is the thing that the, you know, that really stirs other people to draw near to us and to be a part of our churches and our meetings. So talking about church, we are the Grace Hour show, and we are a part of Greater Grace Ministry in Baltimore, Greater Grace Church. Feel free to join us for church services this coming Sunday, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 6:30. You're welcome here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'd love to see you here. 21206 is the zip code in Baltimore if you want to come and join us this Sunday. And we just want to thank you for being a part of us. If you missed any of this program, gracehour.org is one place that you can find an archive of all of our programs. And also, you can subscribe to us on the podcast platforms of YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. So, Pastor Schibelli.
Hallelujah.
I'll see you tomorrow morning, probably.
You definitely will.
You know, we'll be out sharing the gospel.
Even if there's snow out, I don't care about the snow.
Oh, no, I think the snow's coming Monday.
Oh, really?
That's what I hear.
That's the day I leave.
Monday.
All right, have a great weekend.
That's right. Everyone have a great weekend. Great Friday, great Saturday, and Sunday, a fellowship with the body of Christ. You know, don't forsake the assembly. Make a choice to be about the Father's business and be together. So, amen. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for being a part of the Grace Hour today.